You are listening to the weekly podcast of Jody Christian Church, located on 441, 1 mile north of Maitland Boulevard, 1965 South Orange Blossom Trail in Apopka, Florida. Our website, jodychristian.com. This weekend is our Compassion Weekend here at Journey, and our guest speaker is Greg Nettle from Stadia. Along with his daughter, Tabitha, and lead pastor, John Hampton, we'll be talking about this wonderful organization that plants churches that internationally care for children all over the world. Today's message is entitled, How to Lower the Risk Factor for Children.
If you're here for the first time, thanks for being here. It's kind of a special weekend. We do what we're about to do here about every 2 to 3 years. So it's been a couple years since we had a compassion emphasis. And I'm always very happy when my good friend can join me here. This is Pastor Greg Nettle. Would you welcome Greg Nettle today? Greg and I go back a lot of years. In fact, I was just doing our ages. You were 18, I was 17.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I was seven. I was a freshman in Bible college.
I was six.
I just look older than you. Greg and I met as freshmen in Bible college in Cincinnati, Ohio. We are both graduates of Cincinnati Christian University. And so from 1980 to 1984, we were classmates. Greg and I, after that period of time, as so often happens after college, you kind of lose track of the people that you went to school with. And so that happened for a period of years. And then fast forward to 1997, about 13 or 14 years after we graduated, I was considering making a move to Northeast Ohio from Lexington, Kentucky. I was ministering in Kentucky, and opportunity at a church called First Christian Church in Canton, Ohio, reached out to me. Greg is from that area. Greg grew up in Stark County, Ohio, and so I thought, I went to school with somebody from that area. And Greg had, right after Bible college, went to be a missionary in Ireland, which would be another cool talk sometime just to hear about that. And then he came back and was the pastor for several years at a church that became known as River Tree Christian Church. So I called Greg and I said, Greg, should I come to this church or not?
And I said, absolutely not. I said, it's death trap. I said, it was a great church at one time, but no, don't come up. It's not going to be good. And to no surprise, John came anyhow. But the amazing thing was John came up, revived that church, turned it around. It once again became an absolutely amazing church because as now, back then, God's hand is all over your pastor, right? Yeah.
So it was a really cool thing to be able to connect with Greg during the 13 years that I was there. We played a lot of golf together, hung out some, and just shared some life. And it was just really cool to see how God grew not only the ministry that Greg was leading, but grew Greg as a leader and prepared him for what he is doing now. There was always more to Greg than just a local church pastor. He always had a vision for the kingdom and for how more churches could be planted, how it would be hard for people to go to hell from Ohio, and to talk about that. And really, I mean, that became a part of his language. And then to see that transition into your role now. So let's talk a little bit about when you left River Tree and what you do now with Stadia.
Yeah, so I served at River Tree, as you know, for 25 years as the senior pastor and thought I would spend the next 20 years there. Much to my surprise, God called me to serve as president of Stadia. So let me just say, Stadia plants churches throughout the United States and all around the world that intentionally care for children. One of the things that a lot of people don't know, John, is that in the United States and around the world, 85% of those who make a decision to follow Jesus, 85%, do so between the ages of 4 and 14. So let's just do a little fun test now. If you're online or at the campus, raise your hand if you made a decision to follow Jesus between the ages of 4 and 14. Just raise your hand really high. Keep up your hands. Look around the room. I mean, it's always incredible to me, regardless of the size of the room we're in. It's a true statement. And so children are valued. They're close to the heart of God. And so our vision is to make sure that every child on the planet has a church. So, Journey, thank you for your partnership over the years. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the gathering.
Right.
This is our 15-year anniversary for Stadia, and so we've got a lot of special things going on. But one of the things that's most important to me, and we're going to throw that text, the pray slide up if we could now, and is that we're recruiting this year. 15,000 prayer partners is our goal. And so we have a slide we're going to throw up. And if you would just, I would love for you to get your cell phones out now. You do not have to silence your cell phones for this part. Go ahead and get them out right now. And text PRAY to that number. And you can become a Stadia prayer partner. Listen, here's my promise to you. You will not be solicited. You're not going to be, your information will not get given away. I promise that. Here's what you're going to, what's going to happen. You'll get a little video from me about 3 or 4 minutes once a month, and it will simply say, here are the three things that we're going to be praying for in the next month, and here's an update on the things we prayed for last month. That's all it is. We believe that God's power is unleashed through the prayers of his people. Mm-hmm. So I would absolutely love you if you would just take a screenshot of that right now so you can do it later or do it right now, but go online and just become one of our prayer partners.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So Greg transitioned from being the pastor of a local church to being the president of Stadia. And as he said, we have partnered with Stadia on some different church plants. I want to talk to you a little bit about that a little bit later on in our service. But, Greg, one of the things that you and I have been able to do, and through your gracious invitation to me, I've traveled with you to Ecuador a couple times, and we've been able to go there, and you said, John, I want you to see what we are able to do in partnership with Compassion and Stadia. There's kind of a new model of planting a church internationally that is able to impact families and change communities.
Yeah, so with the child care piece in mind and caring for children, one of the things that I love about Compassion, and incidentally, I don't work for Compassion, I just love their ministry. And while I was a senior pastor at River Tree, we were, you know, I think we sponsored 3,000 children at River Tree through Compassion. And one of the things that I love about them, and one of the reasons I think one of our jobs is to kind of vet partners, right? And make kingdom investment good recommendations to our church members. And so we checked it out together. That was a long time ago when we made our first trip together. And Compassion only works through the local church. So when they care for children, when they give them food, medical care, education, and they do all of that, they only do it through the local church and ultimately to lead those children to Jesus and influence their lives for eternity. That's a wonderful thing about Compassion. It's also a great challenge for Compassion because in some of the areas around the world where the poverty is the deepest and the fastest growing, there are no churches, literally. And so we said, well, what if Stadia would go in and plant the new churches with partners like Journey, and then Compassion could start their ministries out of that new church plant from day one? And we started it as an experiment with about 5 churches that first year. Mm-hmm. And today, I believe we're approaching 150 new church plants now with Compassion. And those churches start with 200 children sponsored by churches like yours right out of the gate. So those churches are 100% effective.
Some of the countries, I know Ecuador, but you've gone beyond Ecuador. So some of the countries those churches
are in. Yeah, we're in 13 countries around the world now. And so Colombia, Brazil, Bolivia, all throughout South America, Latin America.
Mexico.
Yes, Mexico, absolutely. So it's in those children, you can sponsor children there in any of those new churches.
You know, and here's the thing. This is one of the most unique ideas in international church planning that's unlike any approach that I had heard of before, and really across all denominational lines in terms of churches that are wanting to plant churches. This is such a unique concept to work in partnership with Compassion, with a church planting organization, and in concert with a local church here in America that wants to help out. And so back in 2014, Journey did that. We helped plant a church in Ecuador. We raised, during a Christmas offering, we raised over $80,000. I think it was about an $85,000 church plant, which helped build a building in Ecuador. And so that was our part of it. Stadia helped vet the local church pastor in that part of the world. And then Compassion comes in and runs a children's program. And I'm happy to report that church is still going strong. We heard a report this week. There's about 30 different families that are a part of that little church, but 232 children are a part of the Compassion Child Center there. Almost all of them are sponsored, which is a huge thing. But here's the really cool thing I learned, that the church we planted in 2014 has since planted another church. So we are like a grandparent church in Ecuador. Isn't that cool? So we've helped plant, the church we planted has helped plant a church, which is the whole vision of multiplying and reaching more people. And so really, Greg is the one who kind of had this idea to begin with. I think God really gave you that idea, but it has been really cool to see the partnerships develop all across the world.
Yeah, and what's been really fun for me, John, is so watching that model. Now, all of our church plants throughout the United States, so we do a lot of church planting in urban centers now and through cities throughout the world, like San Francisco, which I think you all are partnering with us on now as well. Yep. But they are all required to have a strategic, intentional plan to care for children because children are close to the heart of God. And what we're watching is those churches that have that now, it's the same, you know, they're growing exponentially. It's like you here. Last time I was here, you didn't have your new children's wing right up. And I posted online. I don't know if you saw it on Facebook or in Instagram and all that, but I'm blown away by how you care for children right here in your local community. So that's a yay God to all of you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, Greg wrote a book. He's written several books, but the book that I just completed this week is called Small Matters. We don't have this for sale anywhere. You can go to Amazon or go online and get it, but it's Small Matters. And Greg co-wrote the book with the current president of Compassion International, and that guy is named Jimmy Miado, Santiago Jimmy Miado. He is the president now of Compassion International. And they talk in this book about a couple of things we want to touch on to kind of tee up what we want to ask you to do today. And here's the key concept that you teach in here is that every child is at risk. What do you mean by that, Greg, that every child is at risk?
Yeah, this is an important concept for me, and I think for all of you as moms and dads and grandparents and neighbors, you know, a lot of times we are very aware of the dangers and diseases that stem from poverty, right? I mean, that seems very obvious. I think about this little girl, she's 6 years old, her name is Gazelle. She lives in Bolivia. I was actually to her home. She has a one-room dirt shack, I hate to say it. She lives in with her mom and her older sister. Dad's AWOL. And little Gazelle at 6 years of age goes to bed at night. She's hungry. She hasn't had enough food. She doesn't know if she'll have food tomorrow. She's worried about the boys across the street because they have a tendency to abuse and bully her. She can't even begin to think about Jesus. She doesn't worry about what she's going to wear tomorrow because she only has one outfit. It's all true story. She's at risk. She's at spiritual risk because she's living so far below the line of enough down here that she can't even think about Jesus. But then what we often forget, John, is as we move up past this line of enough to the line of prosperity and beyond, and there's nothing wrong with prosperity. It's what we do with what God's blessed us with, right? We're blessed for one reason and one reason only, and that is to be a blessing to others, according to Scripture. And so as we move up that line to prosperity, let's talk about my daughter, Tabitha. She's 19 years old, and my son, Elijah, is 9. He's a beautiful little young man that we adopted. And Tabitha, though, at 19, living in the United States in prosperity, is at risk spiritually as well. She's at risk because she goes to bed at night. She worries about what she's going to wear tomorrow to school because she has so many clothes in her closet that she can't make up her mind. She's worried about the boys because there's bullying online and in social media, and there's all the dangers of the internet, right? She can grow up and she can kind of have this attitude of entitlement. She can start moving away from Jesus because, I don't even know if I need Jesus. I'm pretty good shape here. And I know none of your kids ever deal with that stuff, but you know what I'm talking about. And so this is straight out of Scripture. It's Proverbs chapter 30, and the writer of Proverbs simply says, God, don't give me too little because I might steal and so disgrace your name. But then he says, but also don't give me so much that I forget about you and don't think I need you anymore.
Yeah.
And so this idea of poverty and dangers and diseases, there's also dangers and diseases that stem from prosperity that put our children to risk. And I was telling John about this week up in my hometown, and I live in a nice area of town, yeah. right? It's right. just rural America, if you will, suburban America. And I have mourned with you in Florida at the shootings that occurred here not too many weeks ago, as we all did. Just want you to know, up in our churches in Ohio, we were praying for all of you and joining with you in your sorrow and loss, and also with your hope now. But this past week, my son Elijah is 9 years old. He's in fourth grade. We had him down, drove him down to catch the bus down our hill. And at 7:55 a.m., before he gets on the bus, we get a phone call from the superintendent of our schools that a seventh grade boy, the schools were all on lockdown, all of our schools. A seventh grade boy had taken a rifle, stuck it in his pants somehow, got it on the school bus, took it into our middle school, which is 5 minutes from our home, was in the bathroom with a backpack full of ammunition, getting ready to wreak havoc, and someone walked into that bathroom and startled him, and he actually accidentally shot himself and killed himself. And so they shut down all of the schools. Yeah. And, you know, but it's this idea of going, my goodness, that's our local school system, and what's going on with our children? Yeah. How do we help our kids in such a way as to help them be not at such spiritual and physical risk, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a burning question for all of us today. It just raises my passion and so forth. And so, you know, here's one of the things, is we talk about this idea of little Kizelle down here and Tabitha up here, and how do we help those children become less at risk? And so I'm really happy, John, and really proud, because my daughter Tabitha agreed to fly down here with me to get out. It was pretty tough. Magic Kingdom and sunshine. But anyhow, she agreed to come down and speak with us today. So let's welcome my daughter, Tabitha.
Hello, Tabitha.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Yes, thank you.
This is Greg, and his wife's name is Julie, and this is their oldest child, Tabitha. It really makes me feel even more old. I was in Ohio when Tabitha was born. So I'd been in Canton about a year, and Greg said that Julie and I are expecting our first child. And 19 years later, here's beautiful Tabitha. Tabitha, I think it's helpful to just think through a little bit, because as your dad talked about, not having enough on the poverty side and having way too much on the prosperity side. So you being on that side, how was your world changed? What impacted you? Because I know that because of what Greg does as a pastor and now the president of an international organization, you've traveled a lot. So you've traveled and you were impacted as a teenager early on.
Yeah. When I was 14 years old, I sponsored my first child. We were having a weekend a lot like this weekend. And I went, and my mom and I prayed over the child sponsorship packets, praying that each kid would be sponsored and healthy and prayed for. And then I saw this one packet, and the girl had on a purple tutu and a Hello Kitty shirt. And I picked her up. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, I'm going to sponsor her right now.
And what was that little girl's name?
Kizelle.
That's the little six-year-old girl I've been telling you about in Bolivia. And so Tabs comes home and she said, Dad, will you help me fill out this packet? And I said, well, what packet? And she said, well, I want to sponsor this little girl. And I said, Tabs, that's $38 a month, which in the scheme of things for a lot of us who are adults, you know, we can do that. But she was 14 at the time. And I said, Tabs, we already sponsor several children as a family together. I said, if you're sponsoring Kizelle, you have to pay for her sponsorship every month. I want you to pray for her on a regular basis, and I would love for you to be the one who writes the letters. And she said, Dad, I'll do all of that. And so she sponsored Kizelle. Now, here's the part I love about this story and helping our children become less at risk. When Tabitha sponsored Kizelle on this line of poverty to prosperity, which direction did Tabitha move on that line when she sponsored Kizelle? She moved, this way. She took a step towards enough. When Tabitha sponsored Kizelle, which way did Kizelle move on the line of she moved this way towards, she became less spiritually at risk, because now she's getting fed, she's getting education, she's going to school, she's part of a local church, She's learning about Jesus. So 2 years after Tabs had the opportunity to sponsor Cazelle, I traveled to Bolivia to a brand new church plant up in the mountains, just like the one you all planted. And as I walked up the dirt road to this new church building, cement block building, there are like hundreds of children lining the streets. They have these construction paper crowns on. They're like Burger King crowns, right? And they have Fruit Loop necklaces around their neck. And we're walking up this dusty road, and they're just cheering for us. And all of a sudden, this little girl comes running down the street, and she grabs my leg and holds on to me. And it's little Cazelle. And she knew who I was because Tabs has been sending pictures of our family to her. So I got to go up into that new church building and meet with the children's director of that church. And what I discovered is that Cazelle is extremely bright. She's doing very well in school. She's very healthy. But most importantly, I was seeing her records in church, and there was a little red heart sticker beside her name from June of that year, just 2 months before my visit in August. And I said, what's that little red heart mean in June there? And the church children's director said, that was the day that Cazelle accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior.
Isn't that awesome?
And so I got to come home and tell, you know, my daughter and do a little video with Cazelle down there that this little girl, Cazelle, who took another step this way for all of eternity, had given her life to Jesus because Tabitha took a step in this direction. And both children became less at risk.
Yeah, that is such a great story and just a good reminder again, because I know sitting here today, there's parents of teenagers and parents of elementary school and grandparents and maybe even some kids that are sitting in our room right now or watching us on our live stream. Children are not just the church of tomorrow. Children are the church of today, and they often lead the way. And Tabitha is a great example of leading the way. But it goes beyond just sponsoring a child. You've sponsored more than one child.
Yeah.
And you can talk a little bit about that. But then I wanted you to talk a little bit about what you and a group of kids from River Tree Church did in going beyond just sponsoring a child, but to help plant a church.
Yeah. So when I was 16, me and, my family and four other families are group of church friends. There were 9 kids. The youngest was in 6th grade and the oldest was a senior in high school. And we all took a trip to Ecuador. And one of the days we were there, all the kids were like going through sponsorship packets because they all wanted to sponsor their first kid. Well, me, I had already had 2 sponsor kids at that point. And so I sponsored another one. and it was awesome. I got to see her that day. And so then with the church plant, it was our last night there. We were at this Italian restaurant in the middle of Ecuador eating popcorn. And the kids were done with dinner and the parents were all still eating. And so the kids, we all went over to like the seating area and we were like, okay, how do we help this country? Because we all had the privilege of growing up in Ohio. And so we were there. And a lot of times when you go on mission trips, you come back to the States and you still have this thing of poverty stuck in your head. How do I help? How do I care? What do I do? But then you come back and after you're back in the States for a while, you're like, oh, no, wait, I make money. I have enough money for food, for gas, to go out. And you forget what it was like to be in that country. And so we wanted to come back and still have an impact on Ecuador. And so the kids kind of like huddled up around Dad and we were like, hey, we really want to plant a church.
And I said, well, that's great. It's $87,000. You know, and which is not, that's a pretty low price point to plant a church.
Exactly.
In the scheme
of things. No kidding.
Yeah. But for 9 kids, you know, I thought that's a ton of money. And so I said, look, that money would have to be in. We went over Thanksgiving holiday with these 5 families and 9 children. And I said, we'd have to have the money in by June 1st of next year to plant that church next year in Ecuador. And by the way, you can't ask River Tree, which, you know, I was senior pastor at the time. You can't ask River Tree as a church because River Tree is already collecting a Christmas Eve offering like you did to plant a church in, you know, somewhere in South America. And so I said, how about if the parents raise half of it and you kids can do the other half?
Well, we wanted the church to be 4 kids by kids. So we were accepting no help from the adults.
And so you came back. I said, fine. Here's the deadline for the money. It's up to you guys.
He sounded very compassionate, didn't he? Yeah, you can do it. So what we did is when we came back, it was around the Christmas time, and we went Christmas caroling, and we were so good that people paid us to leave. And we went through our stuff and sold it. We had flyers around the school, T-shirts, everybody. It was amazing. We had a GoFundMe account. We talked to big business owners and had dinners with them, which is extremely scary, by the way, and asked them for money and for help and for prayer. And
how old were you during this time?
I was a sophomore, so I was 16.
You're a sophomore in high school. Now, think about this. This is a sixth grade. She said the youngest was sixth grade, the oldest was a senior in high school. They're putting this plan together. I mean, these kids are the ones that are kind of putting this plan together. We're going to raise $87,000 without help from our parents, and we're just going to do this because we believe, as Tabitha said, a church by kids for kids.
And so 6 weeks after we returned home, they had raised more than $87,000.
Isn't that awesome?
And so the amazing thing is, I mean, you could travel. I'd invite you to travel down to Ecuador. The beautiful thing about this Kingdom investment is you really can go down. I always say, John, if we plant a church, I'll take you to see it. Because it's legit. There's no smoke and mirrors. And you can go down and see this church that these kids planted and visit. It was built on what was previously a garbage dump, and yeah. It's been reclaimed. And go down. And so now, because 9 children living in the United States in prosperity took a step this direction, 200 children have been sponsored in Ecuador and took a step in this direction. And in all likelihood, their entire eternity will be changed because they're part of that local church. That's how we make, and help children become less at risk. So often we get confused. Poverty, extreme poverty is very easily defined. It's defined globally by, world politicians and so forth, is living on less than $1.25 a day total. That's for everything, heat, food, everything, education, $1.25 a day. That's easy to understand. But how do we define prosperity? How is it, why are we prosperous? Well, we might think we're blessed. Okay, we're doing fine, but are we prosperous? So just a real quick quiz. How many of you slept in a bed under a roof last night? Just raise your hand really quick. Okay. How many of you got up and you had running water for a shower, a bath, toilet, whatever today? You had running water, okay. How many of you in your refrigerator, you actually could open your refrigerator and there's actually food in it to eat? Yeah. How many of you have a refrigerator? Okay. How many of you have your shoes on your feet right now? Okay, if you don't, please put them on for your neighbor's sake. And here's the deal. If you answered yes to just those very simple questions, you are living better, you are more prosperous than 80% of the people on our planet. You are in the upper 20th percentile just by answering yes to those questions. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? Let me ask you just a couple more. We'll dig a little deeper here. How many of you have access to money right now? Maybe in your wallet, in your purse, credit card, savings account, checking account. Raise your hand real high. Okay, John, I think it's time to take the offering.
Yeah, let's get our ushers in place right now.
How many of you have loose change somewhere in your car, maybe throw it in the ashtray, because do they still have ashtrays? You have it somewhere thrown in there. You have a jar like I do in my closet that you throw loose change in, collect it. Somewhere you have loose change, yeah. Okay, this is an interesting dynamic. Do you know that in extreme poverty, do you know that there is no concept of loose change? Doesn't exist. If you answered yes just to those two questions, you are now more prosperous than 90% of the people on our planet. This is all verifiable. 90% of the people, we are living in the upper 10 percentile simply by virtue of being born in the United States. And so you have a young lady like Tabitha who simply says, I have loose change. I go to Starbucks. If I don't go to Starbucks once a week, I can babysit for my brother and do different things like that. And she ends up sponsoring 3 children, which is just crazy to me.
One of the things that I heard another pastor say a few months ago that really struck with me, he said, every first world Christian, which would describe all of us in this room who have the blessing of living in this country, every first world Christian should sponsor a third world child. I like that. I think that's a good challenge for each of us, that every first world Christian should sponsor a third world child to help them understand what it means to move toward enough. And so that's really at the heart of what we want to talk to you about as we kind of wrap this up today. All around our room right now, on both sides of the worship center and down front on the stage, what we're going to do is we go into our response time here in just a little bit. We want to give you an opportunity during that response time to literally respond to the invitation to help change a child's life. There's three organizations that are kind of being represented here today. Compassion International has as their mission, releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. Stadia Church Planting, their motto is, until every child has a church. And Journey Christian's mission is to make disciples of Jesus who love God, love people, and serve the world. And today, all three of those organizations kind of come in the same stream, and we kind of see this is how we can make a difference together. We can help release children from poverty in Jesus' name. We can help a church that has at its heart to minister to children and their families, and we get to be a part of extending the great commission of Jesus and the great commandment of Jesus to the whole world. And we do that by just simply picking up a packet like this and sponsoring a child. I picked up a packet last night of this little boy. His name is Walter. And I just liked a little kid named Walter. I mean, you know, just, yeah, I just thought that is a cool thing, just that little guy's named Walter. He's from Ecuador. He was born November 15th, 2012. It's really simple if you want to sponsor a child like Walter. You just take the information out of the packet here, and Greg, if I'm doing this wrong, you can kind of help me out here. You just fill it out. There's a card inside here that you give your information, you know, that you want to sponsor Walter. You can use a credit card, debit card to begin your monthly support.
You just say pay later as well. It's a $38 a month.
Exactly. It's $38
a month. Take about 3 minutes to fill this out.
And then you put it in this envelope. When you're done, just filling this out, you keep the rest of this. So you detach this, you put it in this envelope right here, and you hand it on your way out to one of our team that's going to be helping collect this information. So it's that simple to do, but a simple act like that has a huge ripple impact.
It does. Please don't take a packet and take it home and throw it in the trash, because right. this is the only packet representing the life of this child.
Yeah.
Okay. So, if you're going to, you know, please, John, I'm just, you know, we as a church here, I mean, we can take care of all of these kids. We can, and we need to. This is the deal for us to say, how do we help, you know, 18,000 children every 24 hours around the world, 18,000 die every 24 hours from poverty or poverty-related preventable diseases. As tragic as the Florida shooting has been, as tragic as our local, you know, school crisis was, 18,000 children that God deeply and desperately loves die every 24 hours. And we can make that difference. Extreme poverty can be ended in the generation of my daughter, which is an incredible thought. But it only matters, in my opinion, it matters, but in Jesus' name. It's His kingdom that's being brought to earth right now.
And if it's up to Tabitha, it's going to happen. I mean, Tabitha is serious about this, helping sponsor three kids herself as a teenager and being a part of a church plant. And I just think that is so cool. Here's a couple statements that I want to share with you before we go into this kind of a unique response time. If you care about the God who came as a child, then you must also care for the children He loves. That's a statement from John Ortberg, one of my favorite writers, who wrote the foreword to Greg and Jimmy's book. Let me say it one more time. If you care about the God who came as a child, then you must care also for the children that He loves. Something else that struck me as I was reading another book on this same theme is that the first kingdom for children was not envisioned by Walt Disney. The first kingdom for children was not envisioned by Walt Disney. It was envisioned by Jesus Christ, who said that the kingdom of God is like these little children. Do not prevent them from coming to me. And part of what we're trying to do here this weekend is just to say, let's remove obstacles. Let's not prevent children from coming to Jesus and into his kingdom. Tabitha, what would you say to someone that's on the fence?
I would say if I was 14 and I sponsored my first kid, and by the time I was 16, I sponsored three. I don't care what generation, I don't care how old, if I can do that at such a young age and maintain doing that, then I seriously 100% believe that it is possible to change this world and it is possible to end the poverty. And it honestly does start with each and every one of us.
So here's what we're going to do. Let's just stand together right now. I'd just like for each of us to stand. Our band's going to come out and just going to lead us in a time of worship. And we're just going to kind of have a little bit of holy chaos, okay? We're just going to have a little bit of a free-for-all right now. I just want to encourage you to just move to the sides of the room or to come to the front of the room and just maybe you'll lock eyes with a little boy, a little girl, just like I did with Walter, and you would say, hey, I want to help that child. I want to help that child move toward enough, and I also myself want to move toward enough as well. And I would just encourage you, just take a if you have children with you, please make sure they come with you to be a part of this whole process. I say again, every first world Christian should be a part of sponsoring a third world child and making a difference in their life. Melinda and I sponsor two children, one in Ghana and one in Ecuador. We sponsor children with Compassion for over 10 years now. We are going to pick up little Walter as well this weekend. So for some of us, it's not just about sponsoring a child. It's how many children do we want to sponsor? So I want to encourage you to do that. So just take some time. As we worship, feel free, move about, look at these children, and just say, Lord, just direct me to that child and begin, take that packet, come back to where you're standing or seated, and just start filling that out. And we'll just continue to worship right now, okay? Let me pray for us, and then we'll just see what God does. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be here today. We want to be a part of how you change the world, and we know that this 4:14 window is where 85% of people around the world make a decision to follow Jesus. It's so important that we reach into that window as we have opportunity to do that. Thank you, Lord, that organizations like Compassion, like Stadia, and local churches like Journey can partner together to see a huge impact made. Thank you that we're already a part of that. And I just pray that more and more people here today would move toward enough on the prosperity side and would help some on the poverty side move closer to enough as we link together in sponsorship. So Holy Spirit, would you just guide us right now? Just help little boys and girls all across this room through their picture, just speak to men and women and boys and girls in this room. And we just pray that the connection for eternity will be made. We pray this in Jesus' name. We agreed and said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message, How to Lower the Risk Factor for Children, with our guest speaker, Greg Nettle from Stadia. For service times and more information about Journey Christian Church, please log on to our website anytime at journeychristian.com or call 407-88-GRACE. That's 407-88-GRACE. 884-7223.